everybody. My name is Robert. I'm an addict. I'm real grateful to be clean today in the meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and I don't think we could have asked for a better day than the beauty of God's work outside today. It's a real privilege to be here. When I was asked to speak on this workshop on the 12th step and 12th tradition, I thought, well, what do? Talk about the step, talk about the tradition, talk about carrying the message, talk about anonymity. So I got myself a little confused over all that, and I thought I'll just put it all together and let you sort it out. So when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, I really didn't want to be here. I didn't really think I needed to be here. I think you all had some kind of problem, and whatever it was, it had nothing to do with me. But the people around me knew that I had some kind of problem, so I guess I was kind of like the last one to know. I started going to some meetings. I went to treatment. I started going to meetings, and I started getting acclimated to what I was supposed to be doing. And I went to this one meeting, and I guess, I don't know what happened. There was nobody had the key. There was no coffee. There was supposed to be a meeting at this location. And I thought, you know, here we go. These people do not know what's going on. They're useless. How in the world is this going to help me? By the time I got to that point, I kind of realized inside, I didn't want to tell anybody, but I knew that I had a problem. I was using against my will. I was using every day. I was having a lot of other problems, financial problems, emotional problems. I had a bad attitude, and I wasn't feeling very well physically, and I was coughing a lot. I was much thinner than I am now, unfortunately, but I feel a lot healthier today. So I go to this meeting, and these guys, well, we can still have a meeting out here. And it was warm, so we were on the back steps, and I would say there was maybe six or eight of us, and somebody pulled something out of their pocket. I didn't know what it was at the time. I now know it was a meeting in a pocket, and it was all the readings on this tiny little card that I would need a magnifying glass to read today. And I learned something that night, that it doesn't really matter, that the room, the church, the building, the coffee, and I heard something, I don't remember now what it was, but I heard something that made a difference in my life from that point on. It was about the message. Somebody said something that made sense to me where nothing had made sense before, and then I knew I was in the right place. And I continued to go to that meeting on and on. And then next week we had a coffee maker and we had a key and we had a room. It was a fairly small meeting. The meeting was growing, and it was a step in tradition meeting, and they read from the Green and Gold book, and I learned a lot. This was in my first few months of recovery. Excuse me. And eventually that meeting began to grow. And then they came to the point where they wanted to make it a little bit of a longer meeting. I guess, you know, those chapters are a little bit longer in the Green and Gold than they are in the basic text. And so they thought they needed 90 minutes. The 1 hour wasn't long enough. So we got to a group conscience, and everybody voted for a 90-minute meeting except for me, because I liked it the way it was. But again, I learned something, that this is what the group wanted, and I'll just go along with it, and I'd be okay with it. And I had no resentment, and I didn't go start another meeting on a Tuesday night. I found another meeting to go to on a Tuesday night. But nonetheless, you know, and I do still go there once in a while, and it's close to my house, so that would make a lot of sense, but even though I say I don't have a resentment, it's a strong meeting, and it goes on without me. So some of the other things that I thought about during this, and I was reading some things. I was reading our literature. I was reading the Green and Gold, and I was reading the basic text. And I looked up in the index in the Just for Today about these topics. I looked up the 12th step and the 12th tradition just to read some things, and I kept reading things that I already knew, and again, I started confusing myself even more with all this information when, you know, I can tell you my experience in these areas without having to do all that, but one of them was May 22nd, which is my clean day, May 22nd, 1996, and I thought, well, here's again, this is no coincidence, is it? But this is God working for me, doing things for me in my life that I could never do by myself. So I look at the 12th step and I look at the 12th tradition. A couple of things come to mind. And we talk about personal anonymity being the spiritual foundation. We talk about service to others, selflessness, And these two areas give us the opportunity to learn about those things. For me, the biggest thing is, you know what, I like to take the 12-step and break it into three parts. I love the having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. That tells you a lot right there. It tells you that you've done work on the first 11 steps, and now that you've gotten here, and it's more or less expected that you would have had a spiritual awakening by now. I think I had a spiritual awakening that first night on those steps in the back outside of that church in Wheaton. The recognition in the second step that all of a sudden I could open my mind to something new, that maybe it was time for me to do something a little differently than what I was doing before. To have that opportunity in the third step to make a decision to turn my will over, and that if I stop worrying about things that may or may not happen, God will take care of them for me in His own time. And I don't have to have that burden to carry it around with me. So nothing is like the 11th step when it comes to conscious contact with God. And to have that realization that God is with me, you know. So as a result of working these steps, I was able to get to that point, you know. And then the next thing we do in the 12th step is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And, you know, we all do that. And I think of it in terms of service. Certainly speaking at a place like this, I heard a lot of people talking out there in the hallway before. Somebody was carrying a message out there. I don't think they were just talking about dinner plans. I think they were talking about how everything's going to be okay. I love the service structure, and I love the traditions, and everything is based on the fifth tradition, that we have one primary purpose. And I love this when I got to NA, because I found out that, again, I didn't have to be confused about all this. It was very specific. We have one primary purpose. I love everything structured and in the box. I cannot think outside the box. Everything's right here. We have a primary purpose. There's no confusion about why we're here. We're here to carry the message. And that repeats itself in the 12th step. So I get to a meeting, and then the church is open. The coffee's made. The literature's on the table. There's a secretary. There's chairs set up. And there's people coming in, and it's on a meeting list. And how did all of that take place? Well, somebody went to area service, somebody made the coffee, somebody remembered to bring the key, you know, all of those things, they all fell into place. And I love that about NA, that's all you have to do. At that particular meeting that I talked to in the opening was, you know, eventually I gave out key tags, I was the GSR, I chair, I did all the different things at that meeting, and you know, I made sure that I was there. And I've done that at a lot of other places as well, other meetings, my home group that eventually became my home group. And then I've worked on service committees like this convention, so I've been involved in that. But none to me more important than working on the H&I subcommittee. Going to hospitals and institutions and carrying the message there is one of the most rewarding things that I've done in my entire recovery. Currently, I'm the chair for Montgomery Area H&I. I've been carrying the message to Montgomery County Jail for, I guess, 16, 17 years, almost since I had enough time to go. And I'm also a panel coordinator for another facility as well. And, you know, sometime one year I was here on the boardwalk, and a guy from the homeless shelter said, "Hey, man, remember me?" And I go, "Yeah, I do." And he said, "Well, guess what? I just bought a house last week. You know, it's worth it. It's worth it." You know, and I'll tell you, the night when there's the worst traffic and it's raining and it's cold and I'm tired and I have to go straight from work to go to the jail, I sure as hell don't feel like doing it. But I get up there and I look at those guys in the green jumpsuits, and when it's over, I turn around and I go home. And it doesn't take me as long to get home as it did to get out there, because the traffic's better and it's 9 o'clock at night. I feel real good about that. You know, but one of the things that it also tells us here is that we are not responsible for what happens. So I see the recidivism all the time in the jail. There they are again. What are you doing back here? Why are you in treatment for the ninth time? And we see this happen. And all of you know, I'm sure, you see people come and go and come and go and go and not come back. And that's a sad part of this disease. And it makes us dislike this disease. But for me, it's the motivation to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm forever grateful for the predecessors, the people that were here when I got here, because if they had all come in, got clean, and moved on with their lives, I'd have been shit out of luck when I got here. And I sure as hell had no place to go. So when I see a newcomer come in, then, you know, I understand that it's my responsibility. It's our responsibility to be sure that we grab a hold of that person. You know who they are. You know, they may or may not. And here's the ones you got to watch out for. The ones who say, hi, I just got out of treatment and I'm new and I need some phone numbers. No problem there. The one who sneaks in, doesn't say anything. You know you've never seen them before because you've been coming to that same meeting for 9 years. And then they go at the end. You better run and grab them because you may never see them again. And you don't know where they're going to end up. And that is our responsibility. And that is both the 12 steps and the 12th tradition. And that we need to embrace them, let them know that they're welcome. None of us are the boss. He's not the president. None of us have graduated. I'm not the supervisor. You know, none of those things. And I don't care if you're a doctor or a lawyer or anything else, a plumber, it doesn't make any difference. When you're in here, we're all the same. You may have been to college, you may not have. You may not have gotten out of third grade, you might know how to write, you might have written a book. Maybe you can't even read. But you're welcome here. And you've got as much of an opportunity to get clean as the rest of us. And then that person has the same obligation to make sure that the next one comes in. The basic test, thank you. The basic text makes it very clear, and you probably heard this in the media, the addict with 2 days clean tells the addict with 1 day clean that it's going to be okay and that you never have to use again. And that's what we learned here. So here's the tricky thing. Practice these principles in all our affairs, okay? I love this, you know, because I got here and I thought, okay, you got this little problem. You've been using a little too much and spending a little money, and you got yourself into a fix, you know. Maybe I shouldn't use that word. But you got yourself into this predicament, you know. What are you going to do to get out of it? So I thought that was it. And I had no expectation that I was going to come here and get clean, stop using, and that I was going to be introduced to a new God of my own understanding, and that I was going to have spiritual principles to guide me throughout. I had no idea that any of these things were going to happen. Boy, what a wake-up call. But I love it, and I embrace that as much. Because, you know, after a period of time, and it's different for each one of us, the compulsion to use, that desire to use, that opportunity and desire intersecting, you know, it fades away and it can dissipate. For me today, it's easier for me to stay clean than it is to go use. I don't even know what to do, where to go. My finger used to be sore from a lighter. I don't know that anymore. I quit smoking cigarettes. I don't know who the people are, and they can just go away. My friends are here. My friends are not using, and most of them are in Narcotics Anonymous. And we share these things together. We're here together, and my social life is with friends in recovery as well. Some of my hobbies were I played baseball for a long time, and I played softball for a long time, but I used to get high and drink beer with a lot of those guys after. I get here, and what is there? There's a recovery softball league. I used to play in a rock and roll band, and need I say any more? And I got in here. Imagine that. There's a lot of musicians that are in recovery, and I was able to pick up my guitar and go play with some guys around here, and we don't get high doing it. Then we can go to events like this and hear music, and I can go to concerts now without being an hour and a half late because I had to stop on the way and then never even get there, and then whatever. It's too much. So I've learned how to, you know, it's nice to be able to get that workbook out and get that dictionary out and follow your sponsor's instructions, you know, to the T and answer the questions and, you know, write little paragraphs and have little stories and get together in a beautiful setting and share all this with your sponsor. But that's what I call working the steps academically. Fine, you got it on paper, now what? It's about incorporating these principles into our life. And, you know, you can think about what these principles are. We hear it in our readings all the time. The three most important ones are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. You know, what about gratitude? What about tolerance? What about patience? You know, there's a lot of other things in there. Humility is a big one. Some people come in here with some big heads and some big eyes, you know, but this is a we program, and I know for myself that I cannot do this by myself, and that I can only do it with the help of the people that are here, those that came before me and those that came after me. There's nothing I enjoy and appreciate more than when I see a newcomer come in and that light goes on. And maybe it's that first meeting, maybe it's that first week or that first time they pick up, you know, when they get the 30-day key tag. That was a big deal for me. I still have one orange key tag at home, and I wrote the date on it. I was so happy to get that. It was the first successful thing I did, that I was abstinent for 30 days. Amazing. Talk about miracles. That was a miracle. And I said, this is so cool. And I wrote the date on it. So, and I've just kept getting them ever since. So, how do we behave? You know, I've had to use this, you know, in my job, in my home, in the street, in the restaurant, you know, all of these things, you know. And not that I'm walking around everywhere like we're supposed to do here in behaving ourselves because we're representing Narcotics Anonymous. But, you know, everywhere that I go, and I'm that way. I'm not the outrageous driver. I'm the guy you probably want to pass. The ones that they're in such a hurry, and you're in a hurry because you didn't allow yourself enough time. I got up early, got dressed, and left the house in time, so I'm not in a hurry to get to where I'm supposed to go. And I learned that from a sponsor. He taught me that. No matter what you do, I would always get there, and he'd always be there before me. And I figured, well, he just allowed enough time to get there. And he's older than me, and he was an old fart then, you know, driving around like that. So now I'm the old fart, I guess. I've had to learn a lot, you know, and I've had to learn it through the steps. To me, you know, I've had a lot of problems throughout. The problems early on about financial problems, my bad attitude, what am I going to do? I didn't know, you know, what to do in this program, but I got a lot of help from the sponsor, from my network and meetings and people at these conventions. I've had to practice these principles in my job. I've been at the same job for a very long time. I was very fortunate to start a job at an early age. I got my education and then returned to the same job. And I've been there today over 43 years, and it's a miracle, because I did some things. Thank you. I did some things. There may have been some transactions take place there. I may have come in and unfit to work on a particular day. Sometimes I had to leave. You know, there are various things that have happened, and I'm very blessed to be able to have kept that job and my license to practice. I have since made amends to my boss at my first go-round on the steps, and he was very kind and very gracious, and he's one of those people that knew that I had a problem way before I did, and he tried to do something about it, but I was still in the denial phase. So don't worry about it, I got this, everything's okay. And then, you know, he called me one time, right after I was leaving my sponsor's house, after working on the 8th step and getting ready to go to 9, I thought, well, how am I going to get in touch with him? I went home, and he called. Out of the blue, all of a sudden, he said, well, I was just thinking about you, and I thought I'd give you a call. How's everything going? You still going to your meetings? And I said, yes, I am, and thank you very much for calling. And I thanked him for being so kind to me, keeping my job at first, but, you know, more so because he was concerned about my welfare and my well-being. So eventually, after working at this same job for a very long time, you know, I got a little restless. I started developing some resentments. And once I had some turmoil, and I applied some step work to it, and I was able to get a promotion. That's when I had 10 years clean, not when I had 3 years clean like I thought I should, or 5 years. But, you know, as time went by, and I started working a little bit more, and I was able to do that. And by the grace of God, I'll be able to retire after the end of next year. I'll have the right age, and I've been saving to do that. So I'm real grateful to be able to have had that job and to be able to live this long and enjoy my family and the recovery that I have today. So I'm very grateful to Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, my suggestion is, you know, go to meetings, call your sponsor, have a sponsor, and keep working through the steps. And, you know, the 12th step, the 12th tradition guides us in everything that we do. I had to, you know, swallow a little humility when my job changed, and now all of a sudden I'm the supervisor over people that were coworkers, and that doesn't go over very well with some people, but I had to, you know, not come out guns a-blazing, but I still had to do the job that the boss expected me to do. My home life has, you know, changed. I've been married to the same woman for May 1st. It'll be 33 years. So there's another miracle. She was ready to kill me. I didn't know if she was going to kill me or throw me out of the house, but I think probably throw me out. And I, you know, years later, I found out that she had called my sister when all this went down, when I got busted and everything. She called my sister, and my sister told her, "You take care of those kids, you make sure that they're safe, and you get rid of him." My sister told me. But I don't have a problem. So that all worked out, and it's been a bit of a roller coaster there, too. But I've been very blessed that both of my children have been able to go through college. We paid for both of those. All those financial problems that I had resolved themselves later on. One is married, and the real miracle and God's grace is that we have a little grandchild. He just turned one, and I'm so excited about that. And I told my wife today, we haven't seen them for a few days. My daughter was sick before we left. I said, "We're going to go see him when we get home Sunday, because I can't wait to see little Harvey again. He's adorable." So, you know, going from, you know, I've been clean 18 years, you know, I'll be 19 in May, and that, you know, I thought I would be dead way before this, but to have the mercy and to have the gifts that I have in recovery, I owe it all to Narcotics Anonymous. And if I can get clean and stay clean, anybody in this room and anybody that hears the message of Narcotics Anonymous can do so too. I want to thank everyone for being here, and thank you for letting me share.